When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, it was a very thorough win by the Eagles yesterday. Very thorough. I mean, the fourth quarter was a total joke. It really was. You could tell the announcers are like, what do we talk about now? What do we talk about? Game was...
Which was huge. I mean, you wanted them to be able to rest guys in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Like, it couldn't have played out more perfectly.
It's a massive deal for this upcoming Thursday night game.
It is.
They ended up having to fight tooth and nail against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They ended up losing that game. That's rough. But it is a motivating factor for them. And we know that does matter in this league. I think it's crazy everyone's already looking at the Thursday game, but... it's the truth. They have a young quarterback who's exciting, who can keep them in every game they're playing, and they've got some talent.
Well,
it's Zach Ertz again.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Look, it's so sad he missed that first down.
Yeah, no, I know. It sets up for a fascinating game Thursday, which, by the way, we will give away tickets to. I think it's very obvious this is the most coveted Eagles. You know, ticket so far this year. And on Thursday at 8 o'clock, we will give away a pair of tickets. The way you can win them, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you got to listen at 8 o'clock.
And they are, of course, of our longtime partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, speaking of NovaCare Rehabilitation, let's get to NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report right now with Dr. Christopher Kester, an orthopedic surgeon with Mainline Health Orthopedics and Spine at Lankenhall Hospital and Newtown Square. A few different things, not too serious coming out of yesterday, but a couple of things to discuss with Dr. Kester. Dr. Kester, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Dr. Kester specializes in sports medicine, rehab of acute and overuse injuries. So, Doc, let's get to it here and start with Saquon. So we see his elbow have that issue when he was trying to pick up the Jalen Hurts fumble. He was out for a bit, back in. Ultimately, they were able to rest him late in the fourth quarter. What did you make of what you saw and what it could mean for a game coming up in 3 days where you would think the Eagles would want to lean heavily on him versus Washington?
Yeah, initially kind of a scary situation there, just the position he got himself in with the arm under the defender. He set himself up for potentially a shoulder, elbow, wrist, or forearm injury. Thankfully, it looks like it wasn't too bad because he was able to come back. But with the short week, that's certainly something to consider. He's probably, everybody who had an injury is probably going to see more of the training room than the field before the Washington game.
Well, what was the deal with the bandage thing? That seems strange.
Yeah, so that could have been one of two things. Could have been kinesiology tape, which just kind of transfers the forces through the muscles. Or it could have just been regular tape that you would tape up an ankle, which the idea is it kind of makes the forces go through the muscles in a different area to decrease inflammation and discomfort.
It looked like they did a bad job. Whatever that tape job was supposed to be, it looked bad.
Yeah, well, it honestly probably wasn't doing much because he looked pretty comfortable out there afterward.
There you go. Doc, let's get to the Darius Slay situation. In and out, in and out, in and out. We used to deal with this with Jason Peters a few years back. You could see right away he was limping again. What do you make of what you noticed from Darius Slay?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was just bad luck. You know, it was that play that was kind of a throwaway, and it didn't even look like he stepped on the guy's foot. He just rolled his ankle. So I think that age comes into the conversation, you know, 33 years old. But in terms of yesterday, I think it was just bad luck.
Is it an ankle injury? Is this something that we have to worry about again? It's weekly. There's something that he limps off for, and then we don't know if he's going to be playing the next week. Should we just expect this every outing?
I mean, it was right away. It was the first time he was involved in a play. It was immediate.
He's limping right out the gate.
Noticeably.
It certainly looked like an ankle in the replay, but, you know, with his history with the groin, hopefully it's not something serious with the ankle. Again, he was able to come back, so that's a really good sign.
Yeah,
but
good point.
Yeah, hopefully you can just put this past him.
All right, Dr. Kester, final thing here. I know you're not a heart surgeon or transplant expert, but true or false, Yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles removed the heart of the Dallas Cowboys. They took it.
Very true.
Good answer, sir. Good
no
answer.
Second opinion needed.
Hey, for more information on Dr. Kester, make sure you go to mainlinehealth.org. That's mainlinehealth.org. Specializing in all sorts of stuff with Mainline Health Orthopedics and Spine at Lankenhall Hospital in Newtown Square. Doc, thanks so much for being a part of the show. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Doc.
You got it, my man. Let's go to the phones. Let's get to Franklin right now, calling from Exton. Franklin, good morning.
Hey.
What's up, Franklin?
I don't know what you guys are confused about. In the first part of the game, through the middle of the second quarter, Jalen Hurts was running for his life. Fred Johnson and Mekhi Becton were awful yesterday. They were letting anybody through.
Well, there was also the play where Gainwell missed a guy, and that caused a hell of a problem.
Fred had a rough guy.
Yeah.
The Gainwell whiffed on that block. That was bad. And I think it was on 12. So he had
13,
who had a big day. He was running over Becton all day. Anyway,
they got their linebackers active, and we had trouble dealing with it initially, but they did a good job of figuring it out.
And then when the OC went to finally realize what was going on and went to the quick pass, and the quick pass was what got them down in their second touchdown in the second quarter, that pass to Goddard.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the other one when Jalen scrambled around to throw to the tight end. Who was that one to for a touchdown?
That was Goddard. He stepped up. He avoided a rusher.
Yeah, Franklin, that wouldn't be a quick pass. That would be a really nice job by Jalen buying time.
He avoided the free rusher. Yeah. And he made a real nice crossover.
He had a couple. Franklin, he had three or four of them yesterday where he did a really nice job buying time. And then, of course, four or five. You know, I thought where he ran, like, I thought one of the biggest stats, if not the biggest after the game that stood out to me, 7 carries for Jalen Hurts, 56 yards.
He looked good, too.
He looked good. Like, if they can get 3 to 5, it's like the old Donovan thing in Donovan's early days. If they can get 3 to 5 really good extensions of a drive, first down, taking a 1st and 10 and making a 2nd and 2, taking a 3rd and 7 and making it a 1st and 10.
And he slides at the right time.
Yep. If they can get that from Jalen and Franklin, appreciate the call. That's big. This offense, I think, needs it in part because you're going to have those moments with Jalen where sometimes he's holding the ball a little long. Sometimes an offensive lineman's going to get beat. It's going to happen. And if he can make those plays, and he's making them at a greater clip right now, that's big. Well, it's really a great morning. I mean, we're getting near mid-November, and we got a team that I believe has legit Super Bowl aspirations. And forget 2-2, even at 4-2. You know, we even wondered if this was a playoff team, and now it's almost going to be impossible for them to miss the playoffs. I mean, you know, they're 7-2. So if they only won 3 more games the rest of the year, they'd probably make the playoffs. If they only won 2 more games the rest of the year, they might make the playoffs. Now, weird things happen. I know the Chip team 1 year was 10-6 and they missed it. I know the 91 Eagles was 10-6 and they missed it. Anything's possible. But this team's in a good spot right now. And especially knowing that the Dallas and Giants stink so bad. I mean, John, they still got to play those two teams 2 more times combined. I mean, just those 2 wins alone would get them to 9.
Huge,
you know
huge
what I mean?
Boost.
Back here in Philly, they already beat those two teams away.
Yes.
So it's part of how we arrive at today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Here's our poll question today. Are the Eagles, in your opinion, a legitimate Super Bowl contender? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. Look, it's not to say they are truly great, because I don't think they are truly great. Although they're convincing me they're better than I thought. You know, we're seeing some good things, we're seeing some bad things, but we're seeing a lot more good than bad. I'll tell you the biggest bad thing we've seen. It's the other teams. That's the one thing that does hold me back a bit. If you haven't done the math, these last 5 teams the Eagles have beaten, Cleveland, the Giants, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and Dallas, have a combined record of 13-35. That is really bad. And if you want to take out the 5 times they played the Eagles, and obviously 5 wins for the Eagles and 5 losses for those teams, well, then when they face other teams, those teams are combined 13-30. Still horrendous. But the Eagles won in very convincing fashion yesterday. 3rd quarter was dominant. Jalen started slow, got it going, obviously had a spectacular third quarter. Defense is playing really good football, infusion of young talent. And a guy like Saquon, who didn't make a ton of plays yesterday, obviously they didn't lean on him as much as they did in most games. But I'll tell you this, that play he made, and credit Jalen for the swing pass to Saquon. It was good recognition by Jalen on that third and long. But for Saquon Barkley to take that ball that he caught, I don't know the exact yard line, maybe 22, 23, whatever. He's supposed to be tackled around the 18, the 15. And for him to get that ball down the one-yard line, it was unbelievable. I mean, ultimately, I think there were seven different defenders that he either made miss or ultimately, eventually were involved in the tackle. He got by two guys right away. Then he dealt with two other guys. Then he dragged a couple guys inside the five down to the one. That was a huge football play, man. That was, I marvel watching this guy play. And Rhea, hearing your update, I didn't know that he had never beaten the Cowboys.
0 for 10.
Yeah, they said at the end of the broadcast yesterday. God. Yeah, isn't that insane?
Oh, my God.
I was blown away by that.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Bad of the Bone Awards shortly. Let's talk to Salvador in Coatesville. Salvador, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Great, Salvador.
Excited, Salvador.
Yeah, I'm super excited. But I didn't watch the second half of the game. Did I miss a lot or what?
Well, yeah, the second half, it was a totally different thing. I mean,
he's joking, I think.
Oh, you're joking?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Joke wasn't very funny, but that's, you know, it was deadpanned, I guess.
Nah, it was a hell of a game, man. I kind of wish that Saquon, you know, had a couple more touches.
Well, it's also great that Saquon only had 16 totes because he's got a game on Thursday, and I feel strongly that Kenny Gainwell being out there or Will Shipley taking carries away from him, it's going to make him stronger when when Thursday comes.
Yeah, that's
it's
a great
him stronger in
great
December
thing.
And January. It's good. Everything's good.
Okay, so Thursday's not home, right?
Thursday's home.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. So they don't got no traveling to do. Well, traveling back home. Okay, so that's good for them.
Oh, it's great. It's great for them. I mean, they landed.
It's still a short week, no matter how you cut it.
No doubt,
but. Everything, the way it shapes up for us is better than the way it shapes up for the Commanders who lost. They have to travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, things.
Exactly.
Things.
Them losing yesterday was big for us as well. So
yes.
What's going on? What do you think about the Giants? Are they going to do anything?
They're going to lose.
The Giants?
Have to go to a different
quarterback. They might get the first pick in the draft.
We're talking about the San Francisco Giants? Who are we talking about
Daniel
here?
Daniel Jones can't hit receivers.
All right, Salvador, appreciate the call. Look, they stink. Dallas stinks. I mean, it is notable. A lot of these teams the Eagles have faced stink. Cleveland stinks. Jacksonville stinks. And since he's not as good as they typically are. But the Eagles are taking care of business and in very impressive fashion. Let's go. By the way, I want to say Veterans Day. Shout out to all the veterans. You know, this is a big one. This is a day when we honor not only, like on Memorial Day, those who passed away, but all the veterans that have served, all the wars. And if you're one of them and you're listening to us right now, we appreciate your service. And I think it means not just wars. It just means service of any sort, even non-war, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of how you
served
part of how you prevent a war is saying, don't mess with us. So a lot of people listening right now, veterans, we thank you. Of course, this came from World War I. When this was, you know, this is the anniversary day, 106 years ago when World War I ended, Armistice Day, and then eventually turned into what we call Veterans Day, honoring all the veterans. And we truly, truly appreciate your service to our nation. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
So, John, congratulations to you because I know you've been waiting for that Johnny Wilson touchdown since.
Hey!
He snatched that thing, didn't he?
When he caught that pass, I was like, John is jumping around saying, I told you so.
He's, man, just watch him block, too.
Kenny, I think he's on pace for two catches this season.
I knew you were going to say two.
No, maybe four. Maybe four.
And 14 penalties, but that's
yeah.
Okay. And you know, I'll refrain from saying I told you so about Zach Bond, but I did tell you guys back in April when they signed him.
Well, here, Ken, here's your I told you so. And everyone might not vibe with it, but you certainly can say it today. Sirianni. I mean, when the whole town, or at least 90% of the town, thought he was a joke, you know, you were standing there saying, don't be so quick to discard this guy. I mean, go ahead.
You just don't pick head coaches that go 41-19 in their first 60 games as a head coach. You just don't pick those guys off the street. You're not going to go down to the closest septa stop and say, hey, you want to coach the Eagles tomorrow? Like, and that's the way we talk about the guy around here. And And it's just, you know, you have to look at the body of work. This football team plays hard for him. And, you know, when you hear Saquon Barkley, who comes from that trash organization up the Turnpike, and Saquon Barkley's quoting Nick Sirianni after the game. You know, Sirianni always says you can't be great without the greatest. I mean, when people talk about what does he do for this team, that's the kind of stuff he does for this team. So I don't care if he calls plays. And here's the bottom line about the teams that they're beating. Look around the league, fellas. Everybody stinks. So, you know, you're going to get into this thing where you're looking every week and say, yeah, but they beat this team that's flawed, and they beat this team that's flawed, and they beat this team that's flawed. And meanwhile, Kansas City's 9-0, and the only way they haven't won a football game this year is that, you know, like the blimp crashed on the other team's sideline right before they were getting ready to score a go-ahead touchdown. Like, you know, you win games or you don't. And, you know, so the question of whether or not they're a Super Bowl contender, of course they're a Super Bowl contender because they're as good as anybody. They are as well coached as anybody. And I'll tell you what, man, I am so excited about these young guys on this defense.
Yeah, it's big.
The way they fly around. Cooper DeJean is going to be fun to watch. I love watching that kid play football.
Yeah, good stuff. Ken, appreciate the call. John, what can you tell from Jalen Carter? So earlier this year, I felt like his impact was light. Lately, the defense is playing great. And, of course, a defensive tackle doesn't have to make 10 tackles to have a big impact because you can just disrupt things in a way that negates the other team's ability to move the ball. Is Jalen Carter playing great football from what you can tell?
Yeah, he's still outstanding. I mean, he takes a lot of attention. He gets a lot of double teams and that. It hasn't been as dominant as I would like to see, I guess, because I have such high expectations. But, man, we keep seeing him make plays. I'd like to see more. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe I'm being unfair.
What about Jordan Davis?
I've seen his level of play so, like,
sure,
through the roof.
Yeah.
Okay, and Jordan Davis is still a concern in terms of I don't know if he's more than a run stuffer still.
Well, I don't think he is.
I think he could develop and do more. But when he had in our last game, he had 21 snaps, I think. You know, maybe you look at that and you say, well, good. He has a chance to rest and be ready for this Thursday night game. But he's still in this weird limbo spot where I don't think they trust him. If they really have to get to a quarterback in a passing situation, there's no way he's on the field. And he's a nose tackle who's a run stuffer.
Yeah.
And maybe it's okay.
But is he at least doing that in a better way?
He's doing that.
He had
pretty solid.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I look at the defense. Look, again, you have to take it with a grain of salt facing these bum offenses and really bad quarterbacks. But I look at those guys up front and say, some guys got to be making plays more than perceived. Because the other team's
Milton
not.
Milton Williams has been all over the place, and we never say his name.
He's another free agent to be.
Milton Williams.
He's another
has
guy to consider.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And right. He's going to make a lot of money if we don't pay him.
Remember
and it
when
doesn't
Vinny,
seem like we value him.
Remember when Vinnie Curry got a ton of money about 5 years ago?
Yeah, the Jets, was it?
I thought it was Tampa.
Might have been. It might have been Tampa.
Someone gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, it was Tampa.
Okay. All right, we do it after wins. We do it after losses, but it's got very different meaning. There's a difference between game balls and blame balls. This is the game ball edition. The Eagles smoked Dallas. It's time for the Bad of the Bone Award. Reminder that Ray Dettinger joins us coming up at 7:55 today. And also the Merrill Montage shortly. What stood out? Merrill and Mike's calls from yesterday's game. But, John, let's hand out some game balls. Badasses out there. Who are you handing a game ball to yesterday, John?
I'm going to give it to our quarterback again. I like the way this looks. That 20 attempts. And we know it's truncated because we blew them out after the third quarter and everything felt so, you know, complete. But, man, I like, what was it, 2-1. The 2-1 ratio we've got going on in the last five games of running the ball to throwing it just makes throwing it that much easier. And it's not going to change the fact that Jalen, when he has someone open with one-on-one coverage on the outside, he is as good as any quarterback out there at hitting that guy in stride.
His deep ball is really good. It's really good.
Yeah, so this is perfect. 2-1 ratio against bad teams. That's sort of the way good teams deal with everything. That's the way it unfolds, and he's our leader through all of this. Calm demeanor. Let's keep it going, Jalen. You're playing exactly the way we need you to.
That one on the rope to A.J. Brown for about 35 yards was a perfect pass.
Oh, my God.
Perfect pass. James, game ball. Who are you giving it to?
Man, the defense flies around. We talked about how they're like all of a sudden a great tackling team. They're always where they're supposed to be. You know what they are? They are so well coached. Vic Fangio was freaking awesome again yesterday. This guy has taken a defense that was a disaster, unplayable last year, and has turned him into one of the best units in football. I know the opponents are what they are, but numbers-wise, I thought Vic Fangio, yet again yesterday, just his team, his defense is always ready to play.
Fangio deserves a lot of credit. Rhea, who are you giving a game ball to?
I am going to give it to A.J. Brown for just another casual 109-yard game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any coincidence in their two losses he didn't play. You look, he had 119 in Green Bay, 116 with Cleveland, 89 and then 84 Giants and Bengals, but those games were blowout. He got hurt against the Jags, just 36. But I just think you mentioned it, John, the deep ball throws, the combination between him and Jalen is a thing of beauty.
So, you know, I got three really big names written down here for Bed of the Bone from yesterday, and I'm going to go up the highest chain of command because I considered Nick, who I think deserves a lot of credit. I considered Howie, who I think deserves a lot of credit. But I'm particularly struck when the Eagles beat the Dallas Cowboys, who have Jerry Jones as their owner and general manager.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it to Jeffrey Lurie today.
Is this the first Jeffrey Lurie game ball? I think
maybe.
Yeah.
So let's just consider the following that Lurie's imprint is on yesterday's game. First off, he did not fire Sirianni, even though a lot of people wanted him to do so. He consistently runs a quality organization in a lot of ways, on and off the field. You know, the 2020 thing is the only time in the last 7 years they're going to have missed the playoffs. I mean, they've been in the playoffs, I think it's 6 out of 7. They're obviously headed there again. And he just runs a great operation. And he pays a lot of money to the players like A.J. Brown that have been talked about, and Saquon Barkley have been talked about. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie's a great owner. Look, Howie deserves a lot of credit. Nick deserves a lot of credit. But we are lucky in this town to have Jeffrey Lurie as the owner of the organization.
No doubt.
And especially, John, when you see Dallas and you see the Giants and what they're putting out there. Because they're just garbage organizations. They're just garbage.
Jeffrey Lurie cares so much about giving his team every opportunity to be the best. And he has always paid accordingly.
I mean, think of it this way.
And that's all you can ask for.
One of the biggest storylines in Dallas after the game yesterday was whether they should have curtains up to block out the sun.
It's insane.
It is insane.
And here's the thing is, Joe, supposedly, they put those curtains up for concerts.
That was reported widely yesterday that the Dallas Cowboy afternoon games are the only games that they don't put curtains up.
The NFL's got to step in.
Because that
was a disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about whether you should get the coin flip and when you get the ball and what direction of the field you should go to based on knowing when the sunlight's coming in, based on what time of the day it is. Like, what are we... What is
CeeDee Lamb was
it's his stadium.
Yep.
It's his stadium.
Yes.
All right. So shout out to Lurie, but also
God, it's terrible that they're a mess.
Honorable mention of Howie and Nick and a bunch of guys that had a big role in yesterday's win. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Zach right now. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Zach.
We got a football team, Zach. Oh. Something I sense something happened to him. We'll get back to him. Something weird with his phone. Steven in
I needed to add something, Joe.
Yes.
The Commanders have a tight end.
Zach Ertz
is their starting tight end.
Yep.
They've got another tight end on their roster whose name is Colson Yankoff.
Thank you, John.
We're glad his first name ain't Richard. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steven right now in Malvern. Steven, what's up, buddy?
Not much, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
we got
what's
you,
up,
pal.
Steven.
Yeah.
Awesome. John, Joe, you know, good morning.
Morning. Hold on. Great morning, Steven.
Great morning. Great morning. And it makes everybody feel good, you know. The one thing that stood out to me yesterday, I just literally rewatched the game at 4 a.m.
Jeez, and, good man.
Good for you.
Including the fourth quarter? No, you stopped it after three, right?
No. I did a fast forward. So it only took like an hour and a half. But the one thing that stood out to me in the first half was N'Kobe Dean. Outside of his solo tackles, he was in on every tackle in the first half when the game was on the line. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He, I watched N'Kobe, man, I was telling actually Joe earlier today, watching N'Kobe in commercial breaks, I'm amazed at the way, I used to be worried about him, the way he flies around and he just looked small, like overmatched. But man, he throws his body around and just bounces right back up. This guy really is tough and resilient, and he'll put a lick on you.
Steven, it's going to be fascinating to find out how they attack the financial realities. N'Kobe eligible for a contract after this year. Zach Bond eligible right now, but getting near the end of his one-year deal.
Both of them.
Do they do?
You have to sign both of them.
Well,
like they work really well in tandem. But, John, I want to tell you this. The funniest thing in post-game life was Joel saying Cooper Rush couldn't hit water if he fell out of the boat, which is kind of ironic. And, John, this is for you. I went fishing on Saturday out of Cape May about 40 miles offshore, and I caught a 90-pound tuna. And
wow.
I was eating it during the Eagles game last night.
Oh,
there you go.
That must have – congratulations. That's wonderful. Nice work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing like catching it and eating it and preparing that thing yourself. Joe has never, ever done this.
I let someone else catch it. I let someone else prepare it, and then I eat it.
It really does taste better. I'm telling you, you catch a fish and clean it yourself,
sure,
it tastes fresher and better.
Yeah, it should. That makes sense. It does. All right, let's listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday. So this was an interesting one. Obviously, Jalen very criticized last year, a whole bunch of fronts, but one of which was about his interaction with teammates. Whether it's in games or sometimes not in games. And he had a moment yesterday that was captured of him talking to teammates after one of his turnovers. And it was an interesting answer by Jalen Hurts. Let's listen to what he said.
After the fumble, you kind of went up and down the bench, like shaking everybody's hand.
You saw that?
What's that?
So you saw that?
I did, yes. So, I mean, what was that? What was kind of going through your mind in the moment? Like, were you trying to tell these guys, like, keep your head in there and, you know, everything and
all
of it?
No, man, you know, I think it's just we're in it together, you know, and I have, you know, zero pride or anything involved in owning my mistakes. And so I made a mistake and it hurt the team, you know, but I was thankful for they had my back and, you know, more so the defense and how they responded and how they played and just the conversations we have. And I think that's something that starts in the middle of the week, not even on Sundays. But we know that it takes all of us. And then, obviously, everyone, you know, offensively, just knowing we're just going to keep pressing and keep moving forward, keep staying with it, you know, keep throwing punches. And that's exactly, I think, how we handled it.
It's nice work by Jalen. Look, he obviously struggled early. And it wasn't until, I don't know exactly when, maybe 5 minutes left in the second quarter, whatever it was, 2 minutes left, that he you know, kind of got it together. But that third quarter was dominant.
Deal. It's a huge deal that we got the two-minute offense rolling because, you know, I've had a major problem with the way that has functioned. That situational aspect of football has been problematic. We have not been good enough. Jalen has not been good enough. The offense has stalled consistently when trying to score at the end of the first half. It's been terrible, and no one has really been bellyaching about it because, hey, you know, we're winning anyway.
But you're going back a couple years now.
It's been ongoing.
No, I remember.
But
I remember.
This was different. This was the first time it felt like the gears caught or something in this game, offensively speaking. The defense was, of course, kicking butt.
Tremendous.
But all of a sudden, in a two-minute mode, the gears caught, we start rolling, and then we carried that confidence into the locker room, came back out, and the rest is history. I mean, that third quarter was music.
Well, I think they took, and I didn't mean they, the Eagles offense and defense, they took Dallas's heart.
Yes.
Dallas ended that game without a heart.
Well, Dallas is
I know they stink.
Front runner.
No, they are.
If they can get a lead, if they can somehow get a couple, you know, steal a couple takeaways from you.
Yeah.
They'll roar and try for a bit, but they can't sustain.
No, and they just don't have very good talent right now. Let's actually listen to how it went down yesterday, because it was a little shaky early, obviously. But then the Eagles really, really got rolling. Let's listen to how it sounded here yesterday on WIP. Merrill and Mike, we're going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
The
Eagles play like they did since week six, it should be easy. But they still need to play hard to win game seven.
Rush takes it, fumbles it. The Eagles say they have it.
And they do.
And they do. Hurts is back. Here comes the rush. He swings it out to Barkley. Barkley breaks three tackles. Takes it to the one. Hurts under center. Hurts sneaks, and he's in for the touchdown. It worked. To the Eagles, break the ice. Rush, he gives it off to Elliott. And Elliott fumbles the football. Eagles recover the ball in the end zone. And it was recovered by DeGene. Eagles lead the Cowboys 7-6. Hurts, he lets it fly. He's got Brown. Brown at the 50. Brown at the 47-yard line. Brown came out of nowhere with a cloud of dust.
Really?
And a hearty hi-ho silver.
Really, really well done.
He's going to run. He's got plenty of room. 40, 35, 30. And he slides down shy of the 20.
Excellent decision.
Hurts looks. Here comes the rush. He's rolling, firing, complete. Touchdown! Dallas Goedert! And the Eagles will just take a snap, kneel down, and head for the locker room. Fortunately, because of that last drive leading 14-6. Here is the punt. Backing up is DeGene. He takes it at the 32, starts up the center of the field. He's at the 40, turns the corner to the 45-50, and run out of bounds inside the Cowboys' 40.
What an outstanding job. Cooper DeGene putting the Eagles' offense now in Dallas Cowboy territory.
Handoff goes to Gainwell. He's at the 15, to 10, and he spins down to the 8. Hurts is starting to run. Now he fires. Complete! Touchdown! This time it goes to Johnny Wilson, his first touchdown in the NFL. Hurts is looping it deep downfield, and it is caught. What another great grab, and this time it is A.J. Brown. Gives off to Barkley, up the middle he goes, moving the pile almost 9 yards. That's more like it. It's Barkley slashing it for the first down and taking it to the 20 at 9 more yards. Gives it to Barkley. He's at the 15. Cuts to the outside. He's at the 10. He's at the 9. Barkley is starting to move the pile. Hurts. Keeps it. Runs. Cuts back. Inside. Touchdown number 10. The Birds, 31. The Cowboys, 6. Now Kenny Pickett works hard. And this is an opportunity for him to have some fun. It is over. They just bury them. Eagles 34, Cowboys 6. Eagles are now 7-2.
Well, a thorough victory by the Eagles and a great job by Joe Wechter putting that together. Was that the Magnificent Seven?
Good pull by you.
Thank
for their
you.
Seventh win. Yes, good pull.
Oh, is that what that
That's
is?
Why I did it. I didn't realize it. He just told me why. I was like, what is that? I recognize it.
I thought it was a Dallas type.
That too. He said it was the combo of
Cowboy.
The Western thing and the seventh win. So a double whammy.
Well, well done by Merrill. Well done by Mike. Well done by Joe Wechter. And really, really, really well done by the Philadelphia Eagles, who just walloped them yesterday. Which, by the way, sets up Thursday night. James, I need a point spread here. So, Eagles, Washington, Thursday.
Yes, I have it.
What are we looking at?
Would you like to guess?
Eagles by 4.
Very close. 3.5.
I didn't get to guess, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now you can just say you would have guessed 3.5. So
I wasn't.
So, man, this is great. Mid-November, Eagles and the team they're right there with in the NFC East for first place. That's a beautiful. And by the way, Eagles are nipping on the heels of the Lions. Now, if you missed it, the Lions won a game, you know, late last night. It was close, tight. Lions
it was
still
ridiculous
only have,
they won.
I know. They only still have one loss, but the Eagles only have 2 losses. So, and I am, you know, getting increasingly aware of San Francisco. I know they barely won yesterday. But, I mean, let's be real. With half a season to go, doesn't it feel like San Fran's going to win that division instead of Arizona? Which means San Fran would have.
It doesn't necessarily.
John.
Yes.
You
Joe.
Think Arizona might win that division instead of San Fran?
Look at the way they're playing.
They played a lot better yesterday than
they
San
really
Fran
did.
San Fran barely beat Tampa.
I can't stand Jonathan, but they played well.
What teams did last year matters now.
Yeah, but I still think Kyler Murray's not that good.
Joe, I was 2 seconds away from texting you yesterday. Literally, my hand was on my button.
Yep.
Do you know who Bo Nix is now? And then they blocked the
exactly.
All right.
So, you know, one of the things about this season that has continued to smack all of us in the face is who is good and how good are the teams that are good? And are there 5 teams that are good? Are there 3 teams that are good? Are there 10 teams that are good? Look, we know this. The Eagles have become pretty good. We also know it's hard to know quite how good considering the 5 teams they've beaten in this 5-game winning streak have a combined record of 13-35. Those are just the facts, 13-35.
Cleveland's 2-7, Giants 2-8, Cincy 4-6, Jacksonville 2-8, Dallas 3-6. So it's a bit of a conundrum, but clearly the Eagles are playing so much better than they did early this year. Jalen's playing a lot better. Now, he struggled in the first half, really got it together. Third quarter was great. And obviously, Saquon and A.J. and Devontae, guys like that, make a big difference. Let's go to the phones. Not to mention the defense, which if there's a true star of the game yesterday, in a collective sense, it's the Eagles' defense. They were magnificent. Magnificent 11. Ray Dittinger, in less than 10 minutes, joins the program. Zach right now. Zach, good morning.
Good morning. Bad job by me switching off the speakerphone.
No worries, buddy.
I would like to make up for that transgression by reading another open letter.
An open letter. Who is this one to?
So, dear Jerry Jones, in case you were too busy telling radio hosts in Dallas to get their damn act together, your Cowboys got cooked 34-6. Advice for next year's offseason, comparing players' Johnsons to that of Arnold Palmer's not a great strategy for draft and free agency. I recommend asking Howie Roseman for advice and your lunch money back. Sincerely, Zach from Medford.
You know, Zach, what goes through my mind when I hear you say that at the end? Could you imagine if Howie Roseman was ever a free agent? How much money he could make with all the billionaires bidding for him? I mean, forget bidding $20 million for a player. If I'm a GM with billions of dollars, I'd give him $20 million. I'm serious.
Yeah, why would you limit that?
I mean, seriously.
You're right.
There's no salary gap.
Who knows what he makes? Like, we don't ever
office.
We never hear what he makes, but I'll tell you this, it's probably not enough.
I mean, well, it's a good thing we don't have to worry.
It feels like it's probably name your price. That's for sure.
Zach, go ahead, man.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have to worry about that, considering Jeff and Howie are attached at the hip. But I wanted to kind of extend on Howie. When's the last time we watched an Eagles game and so many times the tackles made us go, oof? Just watching these linebackers just destroy and blow up players on the field has been just a treat.
Well, it has been. I mean, they're hitting hard, and more than just hitting hard, they're just tackling well. I mean, you're not seeing the missed tackles that were rampant last season and were a problem.
Rampant in the Tampa game.
At the start of this season. I mean, yeah. Well, the playoff game was a joke. Total joke.
Well, they found their arms finally.
Well, I don't know if they found their arms. I mean, they just it could be better technique or what. It's just they're doing the job they got to do. And Zach,
go ahead, buddy. I don't know how many times I was saying to myself, like, that when they were tackling, they were just throwing their bodies at the players and hoping it was going to work. And they never were using their arms. And now we've got, like, Reed Blankenship, Zach Bond. We've got N'Kobe Dean just wrapping people up and bringing people down. Like, when's the last, like, we've been saying it for years. Tackling has been terrible. And finally we get these stud linebackers into the mix. We have Reed Blankenship wrapping people up. It's just a 180 from the years past.
No, I got
well,
you.
We've had Reed Blankenship here for quite a while, and he has been wrapping up for quite a while. I don't think we appreciated him. I still probably don't. I think that Cooper DeJean does a better job. I think Cooper DeJean came in here and showed us an explosiveness and an excitement that Reed Blankenship didn't.
Look, DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell changed the defense. It's just a fact.
Quinyon's
they changed the defense.
Unbelievable, too. Yeah, those two. There's a brat. It's not even the right term to say cockiness, because they're not. They're just very confident. They know they've got the goods.
Yep.
And they've got the confidence to go out there. They cover the best wide receivers in the league week to week. These two young dudes, they're just going out there. It's almost like they don't know what they don't know, and it doesn't matter.
Well,
they just go out.
They're making plays,
and let her rip.
I also feel like Gardner Johnson, the longer the season has gone on, the more he has settled back into the role he had in 2022 and is making better plays.
It's
I mean, I thought he started
just fly around.
Yeah. He started this year, but he's playing better ball now. Ray Dittinger in just a couple minutes joins us. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. What a great morning it is. John Ritchie, I thought about something that you said about Quinyon Mitchell a few weeks ago, and I don't know if it was a comment about a player or a pickup line that you used, but you said something to the effect of, I want to put my face on you. And that's just like just all kidding aside, just kind of the physicality that the DBs are playing with right now. And I have to,
that's amazing. Ed, you don't see that very often, that you've got two young cornerbacks, not safeties, not guys like Brian Dawkins who are, they want to blitz, they want to tackle, they want to hit you. They're extra linebackers. These cornerbacks who cover wide receivers like cornerbacks also happen to be tough and tough-minded, and they can actually wrap you up too, which we love.
Yeah, but with DeJean especially, considering that he's, 6'1", 200 pounds, if there's a matchup like a Mark Andrews when we play the Ravens, you could just as easily bump him down and just shadow Mark Andrews all day. I mean, he's got the height on him, but, I would feel a lot better with him doing that than a shorter, slower slot corner.
Ed, you know what I just noticed you did, and I appreciate it? You just put the Eagles in the Super Bowl against the Ravens.
They're also on our schedule.
Well, they play them this year.
Yeah, but it's more cool thinking about the Super Bowl. No, Ed, I get your point, man. He's got physicality. I mean, I remember when the Eagles used to have Doc against Shockey. It was a hell of a matchup.
That's going back.
There was a matchup. I mean, those guys had freaking battles. And Cooper DeJean, barring injury, and Quinyon Mitchell, barring injury, are going to be Eagles for a long, long time, man. They are ballers, these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I know we got the Commanders on Thursday. Didn't mean to get premature like the Dawson Yankoff joke, but they're gonna
Colson.
Whatever. They're really, other than the Ravens, no other defenses on this schedule. Maybe the Steelers that kind of scare us.
The offenses will get harder. I mean, they have faced four straight horrible offenses, and Cincy, while they've got some great players, has no offensive line. I mean,
they just put up 34 on Baltimore. I mean, they scored 41 against the Ravens. Since they played the Eagles, they put up 41 and 34.
And they're still 4-6. All right,
they're on their way back.